A warm welcome, everyone, to a new interview on Small Caps Investment Research. We're very pleased to have Mr. Brent Charleton, the President and CEO of EnWave Corporation, with us today. EnWave offers industrial-scale dehydration technologies for commercial applications in the food, pharmaceutical, and cannabis sectors. The company is listed on the TSX Venture Exchange with ticker symbol ENW. Brent, it's a pleasure to have you with us again. Welcome.
Thanks again for having me.
Brent, we shouldn't beat around the bush. Similar to millions and millions of companies, EnWave was hit by COVID-19. Instead of the strong growth that was expected this year, both sales and earnings have declined. Third quarter results for the period ending June 30th were announced last week. Can you elaborate on those results?
Sure, yeah, happy to do so. Obviously, all companies are dealing with their own unique challenges, given the evolving circumstances of the global pandemic. And what we did as a management team at EnWave was react quickly once it was clear that there would be economic, hurt coming from the spread of COVID-19. We reduced our expenses by about 30% between Q2 and Q3 fiscal year to obviously right-size the business based on the outlook and perhaps the hesitancy for many of our targets to deploy cash and acquire new CapEx. During the period through fiscal 2020, we also have been successful in actually improving our gross margin percentage. It was up to 36% in Q3, up 19% since Q1, and up 108% year over year. And that's a reflection of both revised pricing strategies for our machines that we're selling, and of course, as I've stated previously here, a reduction in expenses.
Despite COVID-19, you still were able to sign several new TELOAs and royalty-bearing agreements the past few weeks. Can you highlight some of them for us?
Sure. And I think also important to note that year-to-date in fiscal 2020, we've actually signed more agreements than we had signed in fiscal 2019. To this point in the year, we've signed 9 new royalty-bearing commercial licenses. We also signed the collaboration and R&D license with GEA Lyophil to hopefully accelerate commercialization in the pharmaceutical space. And we've signed 4 TELOAs, or research agreements, deploying pilot-scale machinery to companies for product development and test work. So with a month to go in this fiscal year, now being September, we still have upside to sign additional agreements, I believe. Considering the COVID-19 situation, that's pretty good. I know I'm proud of our team's performance. In terms of the individual agreements that we've signed and announced names, Orto Al Sole was a recent commercial license signed, our first in the country of Italy, to convert vegetable raw material into shelf-stable premium snacks. We also announced selling additional machines to Calbee, one of the largest snacking companies globally, domiciled in Japan. We have been active with some of our previously announced companies, such as Arla and Royal Freeze and Campina and others, hopefully leaning towards upscale POs, purchase orders for machines in the future. And, all in all, I'm happy with the level of engagement that we're seeing now being, 4 months into this pandemic.
Only last week, you announced a collaboration with the University of British Columbia to investigate a manufacturing method for a new inhaler with the goal of providing relief for COVID-19 patients. That is something completely new for EnWave and deserves some extra attention. What is the potential of this cooperation?
Unknown, to be frank at this point. So certain individuals involved with this project from UBC are already very familiar with the ability of our vacuum microwave technology. And based on the desired outcomes of drying this particular, call it medicine, to hopefully battle COVID-19 symptoms, they think that vacuum microwave can offer some material advantages when compared to spray drying options for encapsulating this particular pharmaceutical product. So we agreed to provide some of our resources, modest, and monetary compensation will be provided by NSERC, which is the National Research Council here in Canada, to support the engagement between their group and our engineers and scientists on a go-forward basis.
Well, very interesting, nevertheless. And now that we're talking about the medical and pharmaceutical side of the business, can you update us on the status of the project that you have with Merck?
I can share a high-level summary, but obviously the details are confidential. Sure. I can state that that engagement is still active, and it is advancing through our collaboration with Gea Lyophil of Germany, whom are global leaders in the commercialization of lyophilization equipment. So I can't say much more than that, but I can say that it's active, and all three parties, Gea, Merck, and ourselves, have a shared goal of a commercially viable outcome in the future for vaccination and dehydration.
And next to Merck, how is the collaboration agreement with Gea Lyophil of Germany evolving?
Our contacts at Gea have been a pleasure to work with thus far. We are jointly engaging with other pharmaceutical companies that have an interest in vacuum microwave technology, more specifically our REV equipment. And I foresee this relationship continuing to strengthen and hopefully bear some fruit in the coming quarters.
Now, Moon Cheese sales also declined this year as most stores temporarily closed due to COVID-19. On the bright side, a national promotion is on the way at Costco next month. Can you give some more color on that?
Yeah, NutriDried's performance compared to expectation this year has been modest. It hasn't been where we would have liked to see it grow to, but certain external factors haven't been helpful to support the efforts of the team running that business. That all being said, as we're transitioning through this pandemic and opportunities are starting now to appear, I think the group at NutriDried has done a phenomenal job of identifying and confirming new distribution opportunities for Moon Cheese, one of which is the promotion that you've mentioned later in Q4 and moving into Q1 2021. And that opportunity is quite important because NutriDried had built up a significant amount of inventory of dried cheese that was expected to be put through a separate promotion earlier in the year, which fell through partially due to the pandemic. And this opportunity to basically not liquidate, but reduce the inventory amount significantly through Q4 will allow the business to convert dry cheese back into cash to support further growth. So I'm very pleased to see this happen. And the future still remains extraordinarily bright for NutriDried in that there's considerations of portfolio expansion with different types and formats of dried products, different flavor profiles, which are currently being tested so that the data can justify commercial launch in Q1 2021 and beyond.
Okay, very interesting. And you already touched upon it. So despite COVID-19, you were still able to expand the distribution of Moon Cheese into other retailers, right?
Yeah, more recently, yes. During the initial months of COVID, no. Nobody was taking meetings. Everyone was concerned with stocking, dry goods that are in high demand, the toilet papers and the other products of the world that were being liquidated. But now it's different. And over the past month, even, we've had some good wins in convenience store distribution, a company called Wawa in the United States and others. So like I said, despite the difficult operating conditions, the team at NutriDried are now starting to reap the rewards of their persistence and their well thought out plan that was slightly delayed by COVID.
Now, let's move over to the cannabis side of the business. EnWave just completed the installation of a 60 kilowatt processing line at the Green Organic Dutchman. What can we expect there?
Royalties. Finally, we're going to see see some royalties coming through from the use of a large-scale rev line in Q4 here. And they've been using that machine quite consistently since startup. The other important factor is that now we have an operating line that can be viewed by other prospective adoptees of the technology in the cannabis vertical. And that's been something that has almost been demanded by our prospects prior to furthering the dialogue for commercialization. Further to that, quantitative data based on terpene retention, cannabinoid retention on large-scale lines were requested by both US-based and Canadian-based, international-based cannabis companies prior to adoption. And so I see the TGOD startup and installation as a very important leverage point for our business in that particular market on a go-forward base.
Okay, good to know. And can you also update us on the progress at other major cannabis players such as Aurora and Tilray?
Yeah, I can. So Aurora continues to move forward with the intention of using the two 120 kilowatts that they have purchased from our company. Both of those machines were provided with upgrade contracts to make them more like GMP machinery with the quality of welds and polishing. Those contracts will be completed within the next month or so here. And the expectation is that both machines will ship to Aurora this calendar year. Startup will be determined by the retrofit of their facility in Edmonton and also the completion of the build-out for their facility in Medicine Hat. With Tilray, we've disclosed in our MD&A that we don't foresee the use of those machines sold to Tilray on a commercial basis anytime soon. I can't get into the details based on confidentialities, but there were certain requirements that weren't considered upon purchase of those pieces of equipment, which made it really difficult from an operating standpoint in their ecosystem. Again, this is just another, I think, one of many instances where certain companies in the cannabis space got ahead of their skis and made decisions without appropriate due diligence.
And how is the U.S. market developing for EnWave in terms of cannabis and hemp?
There's a ton of interest down south, but the primary request, as I stated here, is that companies want to actually see physical operating lines, and they want the hard quantitative data for certain terpene requirements for smokable products. The cannabinoid scenario is ironclad in that we know that our tech is producing product with zero degradation. For different strains, requires different processing protocol to maximize terpene retention. So the plan is once the border opens between Canada and the U.S., is having several of these companies to do tours at the TGOD facility in Ontario with the hope that, at that time we can share certain data, show them the machinery in action, and push them forward to a purchase decision. We've also engaged with a third-party financing company who specializes in the cannabis space in the U.S., whom we've become a preferred vendor with, and they'll be actively marketing our technology to all of their contacts in the future in the coming quarters here, which I think will also accelerate the build-out of our pipeline. And then ultimately, for the opening of the border, that will then allow us to engage with U.S. representation rep agreements with different partners to help push the commercialization of the tech in that geography for cannabis.
Okay, good to know. And in July, EnWave itself obtained a research license from Health Canada under the Cannabis Act. What is the goal of obtaining this license?
To take control over the R&D component of cannabis drying with vacuum microwave technology. We had attempted to rely upon some of our partners in the industry to provide us with the data that we'd requested. And in many cases, the execution of those R&D projects weren't at a level appropriate for us to use data for future business development efforts. So by gaining this license, we now have a facility that can receive raw material and process it, and we can do the analytical testing, and we can stand by the outcomes to help again further commercialize our technology in the space.
Another exciting development is that EnWave intends to start a new operating division that will serve as a toll manufacturing facility. Can you provide us some more details on this?
We've recently disclosed that we're going to be starting up this tolling service option. You refer to it as RevWorks. And I'm really excited about this particular project in that I believe this is going to further accelerate the adoption of our technology. Because several companies who, for whatever reason, could not move forward after evaluating certain product applications and taking them to market, now can leverage an existing operating line to do line trials, to bring adequate amount of product to market to justify business cases, which will then hopefully be leveraged into the purchase of their own large-scale equipment to bring manufacture in-house and signing of additional licenses with our company. In several instances, the risk was just too high. This is an effort to further de-risk the adoption of our technology while also diversifying our revenue streams. And in the case of, COVID-19, where international travel has been stymied and it's been tough to obviously complete large-scale installations and conduct face-to-face business development, this can help again, in that diversity of revenue being generated for our business.
Yeah, good idea. And a final major business opportunity that I would like to discuss is your agreement with the United States Army. Would you give us an update on the latest developments there?
It continues to move forward. The U.S. Army had purchased two machines from EnWave, pilot scale units for military ration development and testing internally, and the testing has gone very, very well, and there's a demand for these types of products now by the armed forces. So moving forward, I believe the opportunity would be for additional machines to be purchased by the U.S. Army based on budgets being approved by their government and prospective placement of these additional machines for purchase at select vendors who are already selling dried goods for their military ration packs, the forces. So for us, we need to obviously organize license agreements with these preferred vendors and have the U.S. Army fund the acquisition or potential acquisition of these additional units so that the rev dried rations can start to be integrated into their system.
Fantastic. Brent, it's been a pleasure speaking with you. Thank you for your time, and I wish all the best to you and EnWave.
Thanks again.